As a basis for our study tonight, we'll read from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. For quite some time now, we've been taking lessons based on principles that are taught in what we kind of refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. Many, many lessons that Jesus taught during that sermon that are very profitable for us. And tonight we want to talk about the charity that pleases God. The question, am I a charitable person? Are you a charitable person? And I know that we have many who are very charitable. That's the idea involved in the word alms that's in our text. Don't do your alms to be seen of men. That's charitable deeds. And we have many who are very charitable. The question arises, am I sure that my charity is actually pleasing to God? Because some forms of charity are displeasing to God. In the time of our Lord, there were religious people who were extremely charitable. The Pharisees would be sure to give 10% of what they had. Luke, the 18th chapter, verse 11. You remember the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. This Pharisee gave 10% of everything he had. They even made sure that they tithed, they gave 10% of the very smallest of the seed, the spices that they had. In verse 42 of Luke, the 11th chapter, the scripture says, but woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. They made sure that they were given a tenth of all the very small little seeds that they had, the little spices that they used in their food, but left other things undone that they should have been doing. And so, not all charity is indeed pleasing to God. In this sermon that we've been talking about, Jesus taught his disciples to have a righteousness that exceeded that of the scribes and Pharisees. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. We talked about this righteousness exceeding the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. We're not talking just about particular specific deeds. Scribes and Pharisees did a lot of religious things, but involved a great deal more than just the things that they were doing. It involved a whole way of life. And so, as we read in our text, we find examples concerning the practice of righteousness, and learn about charity that indeed is pleasing to God. Jesus had contrasted the righteousness of the kingdom with what the scribes and Pharisees were teaching. Then he contrasted what is expected of his disciples with what the scribes and Pharisees were actually practicing. And we've already noticed some of those. But for tonight, we want to talk about this charity that is indeed pleasing to God. And I want to begin by, as we talk about the charity that pleases God, I want to talk about some principles that govern these acts of righteousness. Remember in verse 1, take heed. Where take heed means pay attention. That you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. As you think about this particular verse, there are some manuscripts on which the King James Version, New King James Version are based, They have the Greek word E-L-E-E-M-O-S-U-N-E-N. We get our word eleemosynary. Many years ago, the phone company gave preachers an eleemosynary concession. What that means is they took a little bit off of the bill for preachers. That's been many years ago. I don't know anybody that does that today. But that's where that word comes from. It is translated alms or charitable deeds. And this would make this verse refer specifically to almsgiving or to charitable deeds. But some of the older manuscripts on which the American Standard Version and the New American Standard Version are based have a different Greek word. This Greek word is translated righteousness, which would make verse 1 speak in general terms, establishing the principle to be applied to all acts of righteousness. And it seems that the textual support is strongest for the latter, making verse 1 an introductory statement regarding all righteous acts, not just charitable deeds, not just giving, but involving all of the things that one would do in practicing righteousness. So the basic principle we're talking about here, stated simply, we're not to do acts of righteousness to be seen of men. We don't do what we do just so other people can see us. Now obviously, we can't keep people from seeing what we do, because we work around people. Kids go to school with people. Sometimes adults go to school with people. We congregate in the workplace. We congregate in towns and stores, various places. And we do things that demonstrate our righteousness, the fact that we're doing what we can to please God. And so it's not to completely avoid any practice of righteousness before men, because remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So yes, there is a sense in which we are to do our deeds so other people can see them. But then there is another sense where we're not to do our deeds just so people can see them. You see the difference? We're living among people, and we just can't get away from the fact that people see what we do. And some things we may do that nobody knows anything about. But for the most part, people can see how we act, what we do, how we react. So what we're dealing with is avoiding doing things just to be seen. That be our primary motive, so other people can see what I'm doing. It is indeed proper to do good works before men. But when we're just simply trying to secure the praise of men, the wrong motive. We're trying to secure the praise of God, not the praise of other people. No, it's not wrong for other people to praise us, for other people to talk about things maybe we have done. Maybe we've helped someone out. We'll give a monetary contribution to someone who is in trouble, who's had some misfortune of some sort in their life. There's nothing wrong with somebody talking about a good deed that we have done. But what's wrong is when I do that just so somebody will pat me on the back and say, oh, what a good boy Jerry is. If that's my motivation, did you understand what Jesus said? I had my reward right then. Well, what about some consequences for ignoring this basic principle? I believe there are some consequences for ignoring this. If in my innermost being of my heart, I have no intentions of pleasing and glorifying God, He's not going to reward me. It doesn't make any difference how much money I give or how much I do for other people. If I work for other people every waking minute that I'm not working to provide for my own family, it doesn't make any difference. God's not going to give me a reward for that. What reward you may have will be limited to the praise of men. Notice verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and the street, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. We need to understand that if I'm doing for these reasons, then I'm not going to receive a reward from God. I have my reward when people are patting me on the back and telling everybody, look what so-and-so did. Look what Jerry did. Isn't he a great person because he gave all this money or he did all these good deeds? If I'm doing it for that reason, that praise, that reward from men is all I'm going to get. And so Jesus applies this to the charitable deeds. Now let's look at these for just a moment. He tells us not only what to do, but begins by telling us what not to do. Don't be like the hypocrites. A hypocrite is literally an actor. Someone who plays a part, plays a role. They're not being themselves. They're being someone else. And so do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites. They went around calling attention to themselves, having other people look at what they were doing in the synagogue and the streets so that they could have somebody brag on them. They were looking to be honored by men. This is not the way the Lord wants us to be. You see, these individuals then have their reward. The last part of verse 2. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. They receive exactly and only what they wanted. All they receive is the praise of men. Don't have anything from God. Remember verse 1? They have no reward from the Father in heaven, neither in the present nor in the future. And so all that they're doing is worthless from a spiritual standpoint. The only good they're getting out of it is what they get from those who are patting them on the back and saying, oh, what a good job you're doing. So what about the charity that does please God? In verse 3, he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. This, in verse 3, involves avoiding not only praise of others, but also self-praise. Notice verse 3. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Well, is that literal? Can I do something with my right hand and my left hand not know what it's doing? I don't think so. I don't think that's possible at all. What he's talking about is a frame of mind. It involves not only praise of others, but praise of self, you see. If I'm doing what I'm doing and bragging on myself, I'm in the same boat as the fellow that's doing it just for the praise of others. This expression probably refers to the fact that as much as possible, a person must keep his voluntary contribution a secret, not only to others, but even to himself. What that means is that when I do something, I just forget about doing it. I don't talk to other people about what I have done, who I went to see, who I helped mow the yard, or whatever the case may be. I don't go spreading that around to other people. Instead of saying in his heart, what a good man, what a good woman, what a good boy, what a good girl I am. I recognize that this contribution, which was voluntary, is not only not broadcast in the street, but I don't keep harping on what I did, trying to get other people to brag on me, even to myself. This involves the idea of humility, thinking less of self. Remember, I'm being talked about self-sacrifice. Getting rid of self. That's what repentance is. It's a change of mind that leads to a change of action. It's not about me. It's about what God wants. Selflessness. That's the idea involved in this. And so perhaps a person could develop the ability to give in this way By giving so often, it becomes second nature. So I do these things without giving them a great deal of thought. It's just things that I do for other people, putting others before myself. Remember the scripture said, look not at every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And so I am involved in doing these things and not seeking any praise or not even patting myself on the back. And I do it so often, so consistently, that it just becomes a part of me. That's just simply the way I am. And I don't go around bragging about it. I remember my dad used to tell me when I was growing up, son, don't break your arm, pat yourself on the back. I think that's exactly what's been talked about here. We don't break our arm patting ourselves on the back as a result of the things that we're doing. That's the kind of charity that pleases God. Understand that Jesus is not condemning public giving per se. It's not wrong to give and other people know what you give. That's not the point. The point is the spirit which seeks publicity. That's what we need to avoid. Over in Acts, the second chapter, there at verse 44, in the early church, it says, all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, do you think people didn't know about this? They were all able to do this in secret so that nobody else knew anything at all about it. Well, I know that one couple knew what someone else did. You remember Barnabas sold a possession and laid the money at the apostles' feet. And you remember Ananias and Sapphira. They also sold a possession. And they brought part of the price, laid it at the apostles' feet, and indicated that what they gave was all of it. Now, whose praise do you think they're wanting? This was a public act. In Acts, the fourth chapter, there in the latter part of the chapter, it said, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses, sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. This wasn't a private act, it was public. In verse 36, it said, Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. These are public acts. People knew about it. A certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being private to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why Satan fill thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Well, now, I'm not sure whether Peter knew this by inspiration or whether it was such a public act that he had some way of knowing how much Ananias and Sapphira got for the piece of property. Text doesn't say. But Peter understood that he didn't give all of it. He said in verse 4, while it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou not lied unto men, but unto God. The result, Ananias died. His wife came in later with the same story. She fell down dead. What they're doing is seeking the praise of men. Whereas others, doing basically the same thing, except they gave all that they said they were giving. A public act. It was indeed pleasing to God. So what we're trying to show here is that God is not telling us not to give publicly, not to give where people know how much we give. Some charitable organizations will list certain donors who give large sums of money. Other people know about it. Some people may challenge others to match their donation. I did that very thing not too long ago. But I didn't do it so other people could pat me on the back. I did it because it was something that needed to be done, and I had the means to do it. And so I challenge others to match or at least give some toward that particular cause. It was public. But I didn't do it so people could pat me on the back. In fact, I don't remember anybody patting me on the back. I didn't want them to. That was the reason I did it. But we do things in a public way, but we do it in a way that we're not seeking publicity for that particular act. That's the thing that Jesus is condemning here. The reward for charity that pleases God is spelled out. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. God knows what we do. He knows why we do what we do. And he rewards accordingly. When I do it just so that others can be aware of what I'm doing and can congratulate me or give me some kind of praise, if I'm doing it for that reason, I got my reward. The reward may be experienced to some degree even in this life. I find it interesting in Psalm chapter 41, beginning in verse 1, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. This passage tells us that when we are helpful to those who are in need, those who consider the poor, this passage tells us the Lord will deliver us in time of trouble. What's that saying to us? That yes, sometimes there may be some reward that we experience as a result of charitable deeds. Something we were not seeking for. Had no idea that we would receive. But through God's providence, he causes things to come about that will benefit us. Not necessarily directly as a result of a righteous act or an alms deed, but nevertheless will be a reward for us, sometimes even in this life. But without a doubt, this reward will be experienced on the day of judgment. The Lord will reward us openly. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God knows everything that I do. He knows everything you do. He knows our motivation for what we do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the thing done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. If I do good, I'm going to be rewarded for it. If I do bad, I'm going to receive the reward of iniquity. I'll be in the place of eternal punishment forever and ever. That's the reward of iniquity. But for doing good, I can be in Abraham's bosom as was Lazarus. Remember what Abraham said to the rich man when he pleaded for some relief? Remember, thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and Lazarus, evil things. Now Lazarus is comforted, and you are tormented. That's the only two rewards there are. The reward for good will be a home with our God, where we can be there forever and ever in a state of blessed happiness and bliss. And so we know that we're going to receive reward in eternity. And it may be that we will even receive some reward here in this life. But that's not what we're working for. That's not our motivation. Our motivation is for the Lord to reward us with that heavenly home. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. It's going to be known on the day of judgment when he said, come ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. Thirsty, you gave me drink. Naked, you clothed me. Sick, in prison, you visited me. And do you understand that these people asked the Lord, when did we see you like this? And remember what the Lord said to them? Inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. So when we're doing our alms deed, righteous acts for people here in this life, and we're aiding people in the manner that our Lord would have us to do, Jesus said, you're doing it to me. And that's the group that he's going to say to, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. To those on the left hand, he said, depart from me, you cursed, in everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. And they said, Lord, when did we see you like this? Inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it not unto me. These shall go away in everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. So, charity that pleases God. We want our charity to be the kind that God is pleased with. As Christians, we are blessed materially. And we're given the charge to be rich in good works. Ready to give, willing to share. Notice what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. That's something that's easy to do. We accumulate a great deal of wealth. It's very easy to begin to put our confidence and our trust in those material things. He said, charge them that they don't be like that. But put their trust in the living God, which giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. The word communicate simply means to share. Willing to share, ready to distribute. Thus, the kind of disposition, the kind of heart that we as Christians are to have. Now why? Well, notice verse 19. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. What are you doing? You're building something that is beyond this life. You're working for something that is of lasting value. It's not going to decay. The riches that we put up here can be stolen. They can be taken from us. But the riches that we put up in heaven can't be taken from us. Jesus said, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up treasure for yourself in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. And in that same context, he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So where's my treasure? When I determine my treasure is in heaven, then the things that I do, the charitable deeds, the righteous acts that I engage in, will be done for the right reason. So we want our charity to store up a good foundation for the time to come. If we do, we're going to practice charity that pleases God. We're going to learn to give, but not give just to be seen of men, but give to glorify God. Give without self-praise. Don't just be patting myself on the back for what I did. Do charitable deeds. Exceed the righteous of scribes and Pharisees. Not only in quantity, but in quality of our giving. Make sure that our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And one way that our righteousness can exceed theirs is in doing charitable deeds for the right reason. They did them for the wrong reason. They did a lot of righteous deeds. They did a lot of charitable giving. But they did it just for the praise of men. And so it may be that you're unable to give as much as someone else can give. It may be that you're not able to do as many things that someone else is able to do. But if you're doing what you're doing and you're giving what you're giving for the right reason, then your righteousness is exceeding the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. So, may the Lord keep us free from giving like the hypocrites. We need to be giving people. Scripture very plainly teaches that. That we are to be charitable people. Giving from the heart. Not to be seen of men, but to be seen by God. Laying up in store for ourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. Are you a charitable person? If you are, and I know that many, many here, in fact, most, all people here, I guess, are charitable people. All that I know anything about. I don't know specifically how much each individual does, how much they give to the Lord on the first day of the week, or how much they give to other people who are in need. It's not my business to know that. I don't need to know that. But I do know that there are charitable people here. The question that each of us needs to ask ourselves is, what's the motivation for my charitable deeds, for my righteous acts? If they're done just to please me or to get someone to brag on me, then I have my reward. I'm not going to receive a reward in heaven. And so if that is the case, I need to repent of my sins, because that is indeed a sin. To do charitable deeds, righteous acts, just to be seen of men, that's sin. So if I'm doing that, I need to repent. If you're in this audience and you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, it doesn't make any difference how charitable you may be. It don't make any difference how much good you may do. It's all in vain if you're not a child of God, because you're not going to receive the promised reward, because He only rewards His children. Those are part of His family. And so if you need to become a child of God, you can do that tonight. If you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you wouldn't repent of your sins, confess your faith publicly, then you can be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Then the Lord will add you to His church. You're not a part of His church until you have been added by the Lord as a result of your obedience to the gospel. So if you're in this audience tonight, you need to respond to the Lord's invitation. We invite you to come, if we stand and sing for encouragement.